just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to the Max.
To the Max.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome, everybody, to the Max here on LA Talk Radio. I've got an amazing show tonight. I've got Taja Seville. Remember, love is contagious. We're going to bring that back because what the world needs now is love. And so we're going to have Taja coming up on the show. Check out TajaSeville.com. So you just get a brief little rendition and a new idea of what she's up to. Plus, we've got my friend Michael, you know, the pilot, coming on in just a bit to talk about why air travel is still safe and not to worry about anything that's going on, even though there's a bunch of stuff going on. So welcome, Sunday, February 15th. I'm officially 30 years old. That's right, Valentine's Day. Rocked and rolled, had an amazing time, went to the Humane Society event. Thank you, Enzo, fantastic event. And then afterwards went to dinner at The House, my favorite place to go eat. Check it out in New York, The House. And also I got to plug real quick, Less Cancer. If you're on Facebook, look up Less Cancer because I want you to join the group on there. And I've got to give my happy birthday shout outs. You know, next Sunday I'm going to be at the Oscars, so I'm not going to be on the air. But I've got to give a shout out to Tanya, Diane, Eduardo. You guys know Eduardo Zoll from Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Check out EduardoZoll.com. My friend John, Eli, Olivia, Jordan, Ruthie, Marilyn, Allison, Jackie, my friend Jackie from Firenze. We're both celebrating our 30s birthdays this year. Coco, you know I've been on her show, Coco Melvin. Brian, Mark, and Marguerite. Happy birthday, everybody. If it's your birthday, call in. If you want to call in to Taja, the number here is 323-203-0815. I encourage you to call in. Be a part of my show. Text me, call in, Facebook message me. Go to my website, maxtucci.com, and email me. We're going to have a great show tonight. But before we do that, a very, very, very sad thing happened. Bird died. Bird is a listener in Costa Rica. It's a little bird. So this show is dedicated to Bird today. So anyway, I gotta put that out there. But all right, so we're going to get Michael on the line. Pilot Michael, Captain Michael. So, Michael, are you here on To The Max? And if you are, what's going on? I know
you're on. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
What's going on?
Oh, not much. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, but everyone is glued to the televisions on what happened with this flight that, you know, everyone, Michael's a commercial pilot, so I want to have him on and let you all know that flying is still safe, and, you know, everyone's glued to their TV, so... Can you tell us what happened with this flight, what the new news is, and why, even though despite what happened, it's still safe to fly?
All right, well, we'll start, with what happened, and, then I'll, obviously give the reassuring part afterwards. And as a disclaimer for all this stuff, the NTSB, anytime a commercial airliner has an accident like this, they have something that's called a GO team that they send out and will be on the scene within 24 hours, usually within, a couple hours of the accident. And these guys, actually, I went to my university that I went to. A lot of the graduates actually work for the NTSB GO team. But these guys are, experts, and that's all they do is they study aviation accidents. And, the NTSB, it takes, it could take a few months. But, they put out an extensive report, accident investigation report, and they'll know what the pilots had for breakfast. They'll know every, nick, scratch, any screw missing on that aircraft. They put everything together. So, again, this is my personal, speculation, and, you listen to a lot of stuff on the media, especially for me being a pilot, and 80% of the stuff I hear, I'm like, okay, you guys are just wrong. The more I start reading into it and when I started hearing the weather reports, that night, and they said, there's flurries on the ground, it's, the first thing I start thinking about is, okay, on the ground it's that, but the higher up altitude you go, you start getting in the colder air usually because the usually goes around 2 degrees Celsius per 1,000 feet, so the higher you go up, the colder it is that. So it might be snowing on the ground, but you might have ice a couple thousand feet up. So that was the first thing I started thinking about. And then I started reading about the flight recorder. They're saying some of the pitch moments and roll moments that the aircraft went through on the last minutes of the flight, actually last seconds of the flight. And, you know, it doesn't mean much to the normal person, but, you know, they pitched, it was saying they pitched up 31 degrees, they pitched down 45 degrees. And Max, this is something that, you know, on takeoff with a full power takeoff of a 757, which is an overpowered aircraft that I fly with light on a cold day, you don't pitch 31 degrees in the air. I mean, that's way up there. And to pitch down to 45 degrees is just insane. And then it said it rolled to the left to 46 degrees, which in a commercial airliner, if you bank more than, say, 25 degrees, it'll actually, in the cockpit, you know, the cockpit will start yelling at you saying, bank angle, to correct it. And then it rolled to the right to 105 degrees. So this is saying that the aircraft was 15 degrees upside down at one point. So long story short, what happened here is, you know, my initial thought on it is they picked up a lot of icing and that aircraft started to stall. And
now, is this a normal thing? You know, because people are freaking out about, you know, traveling in winter now.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So can we just brush up?
No. I mean, okay. Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, an unfortunate thing where we're, you know, as safe as we have made it, and I give credit to, you know, to the airline industry, to the FAA, the NDSB, to, you know, my fellow pilots, to my fellow mechanics for just, you know, building on redundancy and safety and procedures. But, you know, when it really comes down to it, you know, I mean, we're operating in a very dynamic environment, you know, on, you know, 24 hours a day. And, you know, sometimes things happen. This is obviously the worst, you know, outcome that could happen. But, you know, from the report, it looks like maybe there was, you know, they picked up.
Well, you know, they're saying now that
and,
that they were still on autopilot too. I don't know if that's something normal during takeoff.
Well, I've never flown a Q400, but there are certain aircraft that you don't want to keep the autopilot on because the autopilot will keep correcting and correcting and correcting. But it's like your cruise control in your car. You know, it's like it's not a artificial intelligence system. You know, and it'll keep.
Right.
You know, if you may not notice until it's too late that there's a problem, because maybe in that situation, once the autopilot kicks off, you're already in way over your head. You know, whereas if
now,
you were
could this
hand
have been
flying
prevented?
At that point, what was that?
This could have been prevented.
I think, you know, again, this is a speculation, but I think maybe it would have been more of a proactive instead of reactive thing by not even flying into that situation. You know, they were picking up a lot of ice. Usually when you're picking up, you know, severe ice to that point, you got to get out of there. You got to go somewhere else, you know, and there was discussions that they are picking up a lot of ice, and other aircraft in the area were reporting a lot of, you know, ice buildup. And, you know, jets have a piece of metal out there that just heats up and gets rid of it. The boots is more for a turboprop system for slower aircraft. But, you know, if you start getting in severe icing, you know, you get out of it. You know, even in a big commercial airliner, you need to go somewhere else. So, you know.
All right, well, listen, let's talk about now, because we got to wrap this up, but let's talk about why and, you know, traveling. I've been flying, you know, last year I flew about 90,000 miles. I don't know how many miles you fly a year.
No, you know,
but,
you've been flying more than I have, and I do it for a living, so.
You know, so safety is definitely is a key. You know, traveling is flying is probably one of the safest modes of transportation. And
it was funny because we were talking about, you know, doing this, and I was just, you know, screwing around on the computer beforehand, and I just pulled up, you know, for 2008, they had you know, on a daily basis, there is 2 million people in the air, in the U.S. alone, and. In all of 2007, there was 692 deaths because of aviation deaths for global airlines. And, I mean, that's out of, I think they were saying that's 0.75 accidents, I'm going to say, per million flights. you know, and you start looking at drunk driving statistics and how many
Oh,
people it's
forget it.
killing every year.
Yeah.
You know, it's in the thousands, and we're talking about in the U.S. alone. You know, I was just looking at the cell phones. There was 2,600 deaths in the U.S. alone just by people talking on their phone, and 330,000 injuries. And we're talking in the U.S. just driving your car. So it's like, you know, people get all worked up about the airlines.
So let's
because
reassure
it makes
them.
The news, you know.
Listen,
yeah, well,
you're a
you know,
pilot.
Here's the reassurance.
You hear it
I'm
every
flying
day.
Every day. I put my parents on that same exact flight because they live up in Vermont, and, you know, they fly through that. And, you know, I trust those guys up there. You know, they're professionals. And, you know, sometimes things happen and they get overwhelmed. But, you know, that's we learn from that. That NTSB report will come out, and pilots will study it, and we learn from our mistakes, you know. But
absolutely.
It's
flying is still safe.
It's safe. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. I mean, if you look at the statistics year after year after year, it always gets safer. And our goal is to have zero accidents and zero fatalities. And it's something that, you know, has been becoming a reality throughout the years. So, yeah, it's something – it's unfortunate, and obviously – losing one life is, you know, we talk about, oh, 700 is not bad, but, you know, losing one is tragic. But, no, we study very hard. We take the job very seriously. And sometimes Mother Nature or whatever gets the better of the situation. But, you know, statistically, you know it. There's no
Absolutely.
Safer way to travel. So,
well,
but,
I thank you so much
yeah.
for coming on. I know that people are,
yeah,
are freaking
course.
Out a little bit, but I wanted them to know here.
Now,
I'm a big
you know,
traveler.
Hey, listen, I flew twice today, and my parents, I sent them on the same regional airline yesterday, and I have not one worry in my mind that they're going to be safe. So
Absolutely.
I'm putting my own
well,
I'm putting my own family on there.
There you go. All right, Michael. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Pilot Michael. Thanks so much, and everyone,
thanks.
Keep on flying because it's the way to travel. Thanks, Michael. Have a great night.
Yeah, keep
so
my
guys,
job
I just,
there. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Be well.
Right.
But yeah, everyone. So
right.
you see, flying is still the way to go, you know, even though these freaky accidents happen. But I want to my thoughts and prayers go out to Flight 3407. So all the family, the crew, and everyone that their lives have been affected, be blessed. And you know, my thoughts and prayers. So on that note, everybody. I got to tell you, if you're in New York this week, the American – actually, next week. I'm, like, skipping a week because I'm not going to be here. But if you're in New York, February 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, and March 1st, the American Theater of Actors presents Haven, an original play that explores the depths to which people go to protect their own by Robert David Citeen, I believe his name is, directed by John Benedetto, starring Irene Antoniazzi, I probably said that wrong, Claire Bliss, Aaron King, and of course I'm going to get this name right, Michael Tucci. So if you want more information, it's at the Beekman Theater on 314 West 54th Street, 212-581-3044. Tickets are $15. I recommend going to see it. Michael Tucci, we actually had to celebrate my birthday party together. So I got to say thank you to Michael Tucci, to Liz, my astrologer. She was with us. To Grandma Letty, she was with me. To Nikki Bloom, Vinny. We all had a good time. It was my birthday. To Rob Miller, Chris, Marissa May. Thank you so much. Annie Berlin, she's got a play coming up. I'm going to give all these thank you shout-outs to everybody. But definitely, definitely, everybody, it is what's going on. I'm 30 years old, rock and roll. Had a great time. Karen at your townhouse, thank you so much. We had an amazing, amazing birthday. Great dinner, San Domenico events. All right, so the moment we've all been waiting for, everybody. We're going to get Taja Seville coming on to the max because you know why? That's my girl. I have known Taja forever and ever in a song, and love is contagious. So Taja Seville, are you live? Are you here? Are you with us? What's up?
I'm here. How you doing, Max? Happy birthday.
Thank you, Taja Seville. Well, you know, we got to talk about the plane thing first before I have you on to tell people it's still safe to travel. So you were at the Grammys, speaking of traveling, Taja. How were they?
The Grammys were fantastic. The parties were great. What can I say? It was a lot of fun. I do want to say that before we talk about all the festivities, I do want to say that my prayers go out to the flight, and I'm glad that you did the segment on that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're both big travelers, so I got to let everyone know it's still safe. But our thoughts go to all the family members of Flight 3407, Continental Flight. God bless you all. So, Taja
Absolutely.
Seville, what is going on with you, girl? What's up?
Well, I've been working really hard on a 501c3 that I founded called Urban Farming. And so a lot of
That's
people have been waiting for my... Yeah, I've been putting it on Facebook a lot. And so people that have been waiting for my CD, that's what I've been doing. I've been kind of putting it on hold a little bit because I started the 501c3 in 2005, and I've been really just devoted to it ever since. And it's fantastic. We it's called Urban Farming. We plant food on unused land, and we give it to people. So we started in Detroit, Michigan, with three gardens in 2005. And last year, we planted the equivalent of 600 gardens across the country and abroad, and we fed close to 100,000 people. And when we put a garden in, a community garden, the food is free. But we plant everywhere. We plant on rooftops. We did some edible walls in Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles on Skid Row, where the whole garden is on the wall. We plant food wherever, you know, wherever we can. Our goal is to get rid of hunger in our generation.
Sounds cool. Now, do you guys have a website yet?
We have a website, urbanfarming.org. You can check it out. We're the adopted charity also of Atlantic Records. A lot of times when I say our goal is to get rid of hunger in our generation, some people, you know, think that it's a little bit of a lofty goal. But I like to remind people that during World War II, 20 million Americans planted gardens in their yards, and they were called victory gardens. And they grew 40% of our nation's produce supply, so they grew nearly half of our produce supply. And during World War II, they also planted, in conjunction with the Americans planting in their yards, they planted in Canada, and they planted in Hyde Park in London. So, you know, I mean, you figure if they could do that back then in World War II, you know, there were no telephones, there were no televisions, there was
Facebook.
No internet. Right, no Twitter, no Facebook. So, I mean, if they could do that, you know, back then and achieve and grow that much food. I mean, we don't have a 40% hunger rate in America. We have about a 13 to 15% hunger rate. So if they could do it back then, we can absolutely do it again, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and we won't.
Yeah, and we want to be the first generation to get rid of hunger.
I agree with you, and you know I'm in. So I want to talk to you real quick. Everyone, if you're out there and you want to call in, you want information, you want to talk to Taja, you can email me, max@maxtucci.com. You can call in right now at 323-203-0815 here at LA Talk Radio. You're listening to the Max, and I got Taja Seville on. So, Taja. So, all right, so we got Urban Farming going on. Are you working on a CD? Because I know you got some licks because you sent them to me. So let's talk about your music.
Yeah, I sent you a little sneak preview. I'm pretty much finished with the writing, you know, and some of the recording. So I'm excited about the next CD. But you know, I'm not ready to put it out quite yet. But you know, I gave you a little sneak preview. You can play a little bit of that.
Yeah,
I want to give a couple shout-outs.
You know what? What you want to shout out?
Yeah, I want to shout out a couple people that have really been supporting the charity. I want to shout out T.I. He's really been supporting the charity. Richard Lewis, Ed Begley Jr., Kiki Palmer, you know, Prince, Young Jock. A lot of people really been stepping up and showing their support for Urban Farming.
Well,
so I just want
to,
you know,
now
give them their props.
Absolutely. Big shout out to all y'all. I said, you know, you got my support too, so we're going to give them a big shout out too, and everyone else who wants to get involved, because, you know, we can make that change with Urban Farming. So I'm going to get involved with you guys too. Now, I heard you mention Prince. So before we talk about Prince, you know what I want to play? I want to play your song Love is Contagious, because that was one of the songs that I remember most about you, and I think a lot of people do. And I know that we have that on here. So can we play Love is Contagious? And then when we get back from that, I want to interview you some more about Prince and how you actually got started in the industry. Is that cool?
That's cool with me.
All right. So, Sam, let's play Love is Contagious to the Max.
Was a girl standing in the rain,
So there you go, everybody. Love is contagious. Now, that song might sound a little different to y'all than the original because that is actually a remix. So, Taj, tell us about that remix.
That's a remix that it's actually not even finished. I did it with Buck Wild a few years ago, and we haven't finished the music, but you get the feel. You get the idea. So it's cool. We finished the vocals.
That's a hot
beat. Yeah, we did that in New York, and I like it. You know, it's cool.
I love
a lot of people want to hear the original, though.
The original's hot. So, you know, we'll get that on in the future because that is the song. So you send that to me, and I'll play it anytime. But I want to talk about how you got started real quick. So let's tell everyone how Taja Seville got discovered.
Well, let's see. I graduated about a year ahead of my class, and the same week that I was accepted into the Berklee College of Music, I was also offered a record deal by Prince. And obviously I went for the record deal, and the rest is sort of history. And I also became a songwriter. So I've written a lot. I did some writing with Nile Rodgers and Tom Bell and Burt Bacharach and some fantastic writers, legendary, wonderful writers. So everything that I do, everything that I sing is something that I've written either as a collaboration with somebody or I've written myself. And Love is Contagious is the first song that I ever wrote in my life, really. That's the song that I wrote myself. And it became, you know, became a pretty nice little hit for me. And it's been pretty fun ever since. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. Those are the headlines.
All right. Now, you know, and you've had people have coined your voice. You've been given from exotic to something you never heard to this is the new voice of of the millennium. I mean, there have been so many testimonials about your voice. Now, you know, speaking of Nile Rodgers, I actually was with you that day when it was right after September 11th with the We Are Family Foundation. And we all got together with a bunch of people, Diana Ross, who else was there? Diana Ross. Who wasn't there?
Mike, Patty.
Patty
LaBelle. You know what was cool about that is that the day before 9/11, I was just flying back from L.A. back to New York, and I had just done some backgrounds on one of Seal's CDs, and we had to make an emergency landing on the flight that I was on. So once I got back to New York, after having this whole ordeal with this, you know, and I hate to talk about it right now, obviously, with what you just talked about, but you know, the next day was 9/11. So for me, I was kind of freaked out on flying for a while. But what was cool about Nile is he, you know, he just picked up the phone and started calling friends. He was really proactive, and he put together the video with the We Are Family, and then Spike was there and he filmed it. And then they flew to the West Coast the next day, and they did a version of it on the West Coast as well. And then, you know, that ended up being a documentary, which then ended up being Nile's foundation, which is called the We Are Family Foundation, which y'all should check that out. I think it's just wearefamily.org.
It is. And it's also on Facebook, too. Everyone, yeah, on my page, hit it up because I'm a part of it there. But, yeah, it was a hot afternoon, and everybody laid it down. I mean, that was – I think even, like, Joan Rivers was there. It was, like, crazy. Montel Williams was there. Everybody came together. It was like a big, big, big deal. So it was an amazing afternoon.
It was nice to see everybody coming together. And, you know, everybody was really bonded for a while after that. So, you know, and for me, Nile kind of pulled me out of my little frightened shell, you know, because, you know, immediately following, I was in New York when it happened. So immediately following, it was a little intimidating and scary. But Nile was fearless, and I'll never forget that. You know, he just took action, so it was cool.
It was amazing, and it was cool that, the CD is still for sale. Everyone, you can go buy it. It's a whole mix of We Are Family, a fantastic song, Nile Rodgers. Y'all know him. So, I remember that day. That was one of a fun time. You know, it was a sad time, but a fun time because it was beautiful to see how everyone got together and really celebrated America and really wanted, you know, to bond and bring music together, you know, because music heals, Taja, and you know about that really well. So
now
you're working on your music. Where are you living, Taj?
You know, I'm all over. I travel all over on behalf of Urban Farming. Urban Farming is headquartered in Detroit. There's a great need for what we do in Detroit. I recorded a CD for Sony in Detroit, and that's how I started to become acquainted with what's happening there. So there's a lot of unused land. There's like over 17,000 acres of unused land in Detroit. And, you know, obviously a great need for food and jobs and things like that. So, you know, it's a good place to headquarter Urban Farming. But we're in 14 cities in 5 countries now. So I travel between most of the cities on a regular basis. We're in New York, we're in Los Angeles, St. Louis, we're about to open in Atlanta, we're in Newark, New Jersey, we're in Minneapolis, we're in Chicago, Montego Bay, Jamaica, we just started in England and Haiti, we're giving away food in Canada, in Hawaii. So, you know, the goal is obviously to be known internationally, and again, you know, we want to be the first generation that got rid of hunger. I mean, we just want to solve this problem for once and for all, because there's really no reason for, you know, people to be living in poverty anywhere, you know, certainly in America, but really just anywhere. So
I got some great people I'm gonna hook you up with. You know, my good friend Melky Jean, Wyclef's sister, she's in Haiti all the time. So I got to get you two together because I know you could do some powerful things together. So I got some hookups for you too.
That's cool. I appreciate it. I know you're opening a restaurant in Delmonico, so we're going to have to do pennies per plate. And then when people
eat
there.
Yeah, that's the other thing that you're doing now. So pennies per plate, you know, when you first tell me about it, you know, we've been in the restaurant industry forever. And when my new restaurant opens, you know, the new Oscars Delmonico, I was like, Taja, hands down, I'm getting involved. Pennies per plate. tell me what it is exactly. I already know, but tell my listeners, because I have so many friends, you know, who are in the industry, have restaurants all over the United States, and it's such a simple procedure on how to make money, and it's such a phenomenal concept. Yeah, it's really a phenomenal concept.
It's cool because, you know, you can do it with any anybody. But Urban Farming has a program that started out as pennies per product. So
we gotta, you know what? I'm gonna interrupt you real quick. We got a caller. So caller, you're live on To the Max. Who's this?
Hi, this is Marie.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
Hey, Marie.
You have a question for Tasha?
I just want to tell you that I love you. I love your music.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Love is Contagious is one of my favorite songs ever of all times.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's cool. Yeah, you know, I wanted to put a new face on it and put it on the CD with a new face. But, you know, a lot of people love the old one. So, you know, I might even throw the old one on as a ghost track on the next CD. We'll see.
Marie, what did you hear? You know, we just played the remix. What do you like? Do you like the remix or do you like the original version?
I like both. They're both good in different ways, but you know, I don't think anything beats the original. But the remix is good. It's good as well.
Cool.
Very diplomatic. Right. I like that. I mean, because when you get attached, I mean, when I get attached to a song, I don't really want to hear it a different way. I like it. Like I'm, you know, so I get it. But it's fun. It's fun for artists. We like to flip things around and do different things.
Yeah. All right, Marie. Well, thanks so much for calling. Thanks so much. Have a great night. Be blessed.
Thanks, Marie.
All right. You see, people love you, Tash.
It's very sweet. Very cool. So, you know, pennies per plate is, you know, basically when you eat at the restaurant, you're also helping to feed people because it's social marketing a little bit. You know, the restaurant commits to donating a certain amount to Urban Farming so that when people sit down and eat at the restaurant, they know that they're also helping to feed people. And it works that way for pennies per product, too, with any company that wants to sign up. And you know, it's whatever the company is able to do, you know, as a donation. And then people know when they buy from that store, when they eat at that restaurant, they're helping out a good cause.
Absolutely. And it's such a great idea because, you know, I was just at a restaurant the other night and it doesn't have to be a penny. You know, it could be any decision. You know, the restaurant's up to the restaurant. If you guys want to give $1 or $5 per plate, however, but you know, whatever your heart tells you to give, that's what you give. So we're totally going to be in. I can't wait to have Delmonico's, you know, the new Oscars Delmonico open and have that little plaque on the door. So you know what I mean?
That's
to promote
cool.
you
that's
guys.
Cool. Well, you call me. I'll come to the opening. You just let me know.
Oh, you know, and you know, it's funny because you remember Tiffany, because Tiffany, I was had her on the show not too long ago, and she's like, I'm coming to the opening. This opening is going to be amazing. So you know you're definitely invited. I'm going to have you perform
that's
too,
cool.
possibly. So get your singing
Very
voice ready.
Cool.
But now I remember because one day you had called me. You're like, Max, I'm in New York. I'm going to do the Montel Williams show because I got a buttermaker coming out. And I was like, this girl does – this is one of the most entrepreneurial girls I've ever met, Tasha Seville. So what happened – I know what happened, but tell my listeners about your buttermaker. It was like this ingenious concept that you made.
Well, I'm excited about it. It was actually going to be coming out last year, but we were all ready to go. We, you know, the manufacturer and everything. But because the oil prices were so high, the prices were raised in China, so that kind of threw the game plan off a little bit. But, yeah, I'm excited about it. I've got some fantastic partners on the project, and it's my first invention. And so right now we're looking at the possibility of maybe getting it manufactured in Detroit, which would be fantastic because then it would be American-made, and it would be great for the city of Detroit as well. So hopefully we'll know real soon if we're going to be able to do that. And then once we do, you know, you're going to have one in the restaurant because that would be a cool thing to do. You have the homemade butter. Yeah.
The homemade butter. And that's a nice thing, you know, because it's – I remember when you first had – I think you had the prototype. What is it? The prototype.
Yeah.
Prototype. And you were like, you were talking about how we can make your flavored butter and all this. I was like, this is a hot invention. Because I'm a big butter person. I love butter.
It's cool. I mean, you just put cream in, and 5 minutes later, you have fresh homemade butter, and you can spice it any way you want. And it tastes like the butter, you know, that you get in Europe. It's so good. It's really, really good
butter.
I gotta
hook you up with my man. Do you know my man, DJ Chef, the guy who's a DJ and also a chef at the same time?
Yeah.
He's a cool guy, but he would love that because he has a spice collection out too, and that would be fantastic.
Oh, cool. So yeah, that's perfect.
Speaking of inventions, you know, why don't you be an inspiration to people who have thought of inventions and tell them the process about how it is. Is it a simple thing to do to get an invention going?
No. It's worth it. And, you know, it's funny because, like, everything that I've done in my life, you know, I had to take it from ground zero. You know, it's not like I knew what I was doing. Nobody knows what they're doing when they go into the music business in the beginning. So that's just a given. You just have to learn. The only way to learn about that business is to be in it. But, you know, it's the same, I guess it's the same thing probably with many businesses. But in terms of an invention, you know, I had no idea what I was doing. It took me quite a bit of time when I first signed my deal with Prince. Probably about a year later, maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, I started to, you know, hook up with an engineer and just slowly starting to get the designs and things like that, getting the patents and whatnot. It took a long time. And then I had a wonderful person, Bren Simon, who I call Nana. She really helped me out and helped me to get the prototypes made. So once the prototypes were made, and even Niall helped me, and Nancy Hunt, they helped me out. I mean, people that started to see it and really believed in it, you know, they started to help me out, and one thing led to another. But, you know, I slept the prototype around a lot. Like when I saw the movie Pursuit of Happiness and I saw him, you know, schlepping that machine around, that's kind of how I felt with me, with the butter maker. You know, I would take it in somebody's office and set it up and make butter and, you know, and
the
stories alone.
Right?
Yeah.
Persistence.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the key with anything. And you got to believe in yourself. I mean, I'll tell you one quick key thing that has really helped me, you know, because you're always, you know, I think there are always going to be like naysayers or people that don't believe in your dream. And it could be family members, which can be painful. It could be friends. But the bottom line is, and T.D. Jakes said it best, you know, you get a gift or God gives you a vision, that's for you. Not everybody is necessarily going to see it. And you can't wait around for people to understand your dream. You can't wait around for them to see your vision. You just got to move on it, you know, because otherwise it would have been given to them, you know. So some people can't see it. You got to make it come to life.
You know what I say to that? There's a great quote that I would say, what God has for me, it is for me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody has their own unique gifts, you know. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So
I agree.
You go. Little Miss Taja Seville getting her hands in everything, right? And now, what's next for you, Taj? That's what people want to know. What's next for you?
Well, you know, I'm right now. I'm completely focused on positioning the 501c3 so that we can have, you know, all the things we need. What we've accomplished so far, we've done for very, very little. So now we just need to be able to hook it up so that we can have the fully paid staff and everything. We're looking to triple the amount of gardens that we planted last year. I'd like to see the equivalent of 1,500 gardens in the city of Detroit alone. And so once I know that that's a little more solid, then I can pull back. I also wrote a novel, and I want to get the novel out. The novel's been finished for a while. So, you know, I think the next thing is getting the CD out, really, you know, making sure the butter maker gets out, and then, you know, and hopefully the novel after that. So, but like I said, the number one priority really has become urban farming. Yeah.
Now I want to ask you.
I mean, it's amazing. I got to say, like, people, we plant food on unused land in the city, so abandoned pieces of land and things like that. And, you know, people have come up to us, you know, crying and thanking us, you know, and letting us know that if it weren't for that food in that garden, you know, they don't know how they would have fed their families. And, you know, they're making choices between, do I put gas in my car to go to work so that I can keep my job and not lose my job, or do I feed my kids? So that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of stuff we're looking at on a daily basis.
And it's a major thing. You know, I really admire people who help anybody. But, you know, sometimes we got to help people right here in our backyard. So Urban Farm is doing that, not only nationally, but internationally as well. So I guess wherever you feel your heart tells you to give, that's where you give. So go to urbanfarming.org. The point is to give, because without giving, it can't happen. So we need your help, people. It's one of the reasons I'm having Taj on tonight. So happy that you're plugging it so much, because, you know, we go to bed with our bellies full sometimes, and some people don't have any eaten in a week or two. So think about that next time you have your dinner and your check comes as $300-$400 or however much that, you know, it really makes a difference, a dollar or two to what people, how people can eat for the week. So think about that, you know. Change is here, right? So we're all part of the change. Our president said that we're going to make the change. So I believe that, and we've got to stick, you know, keep the writing on the wall. So go to urbanfarming.org. Become part of the solution, not part of the problem. So,
and
everyone,
you know, the cool thing about it is it empowers people too, because putting a garden in, you know, you can plant the garden every year, and so it empowers people. And we get into things like entrepreneurship and green collar jobs and teaching about money management and health and wellness. So it goes a lot farther than the garden, but it starts with the garden.
Absolutely. Now, I want to ask you, you know, we got to talk about what's going on in the music industry since you've been a part of it so long. How do you think the music industry's changed, Taj?
Well, you know, I mean, they're the obvious things, you know, that, you know, we don't have the same, you know, we don't have the same amount of true musicians. You know, we have a lot of sort of what I call canned music. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's changed a lot, but there's some great creativity out there. I think that, you know, I'd like to see a paradigm shift just in general in entertainment and in media, just to shift it a little bit more towards people being good to each other and being a little more respectful the
content. Speaking of respect, what do you think about Rihanna and Chris Brown? It's on everybody's mind now. My God.
Yeah. I was at that the Clive party that they were at right before that happened. I don't like to get up into people's business. I don't know what happened. I kind of feel like it's not my business. I feel like, I mean, we live in a crazy world, unfortunately. So a lot of us have, you know, just become, you know,
let's not talk about them. Let's talk about how the public, you know, has interfered with it. That's the real point. The point is not what happened. The point is it anyone's business? Like, you know, we're all, I have a show, the radio show, you know, I do TV reporting and whatnot, you know, so is it really anyone's business what happens? And I think people blow it up bigger than it is. So what do you feel about the invasion of privacy?
You know, I can only speak for myself, and obviously I'm an artist, so, you know, I make music for people to enjoy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm putting my entire life out there for everybody to, you know about and gossip about. But, you know, so I'm sure that's a piece of controversy right there, because people probably feel like, okay, if you're a celebrity or if you're, you know, a public figure, you are putting your life out there. But that's not necessarily true. And for me personally, you know, I can't say that I've always done it perfectly, but I try my best to adhere to a little bit of a personal policy, which is like, you know, if I just don't like to read that someone's getting a divorce or this or that or detail, because I feel like it's not my business. Like, you know, if my neighbor down the street is getting a divorce, is it my business? You know, if
you know
the neighbor comes to me
I'm gonna leave you with
and
this
tells
quote.
Me,
I love this quote. Business is business, and the best business is to mind your own business. That's my quote. But
you know, I mean, the thing is, I can't tell people what to do. That's just me. That's my own personal, you know, feeling.
But you know what you can tell people? You can tell people about your song, Tie a Ribbon.
Because
we got that
song.
And I want to play it. So tell me.
Play that song. I love it. It's going to be on the new CD. And,
What inspired you to write it?
Sean Carrington is the producer. And I'll tell you something. He plays guitar with Jay-Z. Jay-Z, darling, let me tell you, you are sitting on a gold mine. Sean Carrington is one of the best producers out there that nobody knows about yet. And he is a fantastic musician and producer. So he sent me the track, and I was literally sitting in front of a Starbucks in the car when I popped it in, and I immediately heard the melody, and I immediately started writing the song. And, it just flowed out of me. I love that song.
Sam, can we get Tie a Ribbon up here on To The Max on LA Talk Radio? I know we're going to get it up in just a second. So until that happens, Taj, here we go. Tie a Ribbon.
I know it's been a while, but I still remember the time. Didn't have a dime, but we had a lot with each other. We'd meet in a park each day at the telephone pole, and before you know it, we fell in love and lost it all. Stranger things have happened, I know. Could the end be the very first show? Lately I've been thinking, if I ride down to the park, I'm wondering if you
tie a ribbon around the pole if you want me back. I miss you, boy, but I'll just ride by if I don't see that ribbon.
At the phone, and I wanna call you so bad. Oh, those were the best and worst times, living lost and trying to find. Stranger things have happened, I know. Could the end be the very first show? 'Cause lately I've been thinking, if I ride down to the park.
Tie a ribbon. Taj, we had to fade that early because we got to wrap the show up. I can't believe it flies by so fast. But that song is fly. My next show, I'm going to play the whole thing out. So, Taj,
That's cool. I want to give a shout out to D. Moet, too. He's been producing some of my stuff on the next CD as well.
Right. So, everyone, urbanfarming.org, tajaseville.com, Tie a Ribbon. That's going to be the new jam, everybody. You heard it here on To The Max on LA Talk Radio. Taj, it's been a pleasure having you on my show. Can't you believe it just flies by?
I know. Thank you. I appreciate you having me. I guess I'll see you this weekend in LA.
Absolutely, because the Oscars are coming up, everyone. So tune in to ABC Sunday, the 22nd of February. Watch the Oscars. Taj, go see the movie Push. I saw it last week. Amazing movie. It's probably one of the most amazing movies I've seen. Push, everybody. And speaking of Push, mm-hmm. we got to push on because the show's coming to an end. Taj, I love you for coming on the show. And
I love you for having me.
Plant the gardens around the world. People, become a part of urbanfarming.org. Email me, max@maxtucci.com. Go on Facebook. Find Taja Seville there. Find Urban Farming there. Hit her up. Tell her how much you love her, how much you love her music. Taj, it's been a pleasure having you on. Everybody, Delta.com is how I get to everywhere that I go. I fly despite of anything that's going on because I know what God has for me. It is for me. I'm going to leave you with that. Go to Delta.com again. Taja, every time I close the show, I say we take life to the max. So you're going to help me close it out. Where are we taking life, Taj?
To the max, darling. To the max.
Peace out, everyone.
And you know what? I fly Delta, too.
All right, girl. We're flying Delta. To the max, everyone. Stand them out of here. Peace out, guys.
You're listening to To the Max.
To the max.
Only on LA Talk Radio.